Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Jim was not even 30 years old when he gave his life while attempting to reach a fierce Indian tribe. Later, his widow Elizabeth and their young daughter Valerie went to live with the same tribe for 2 years, teaching them about God and his love for them. What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about living in company with Christ. The desire of my heart is to live in company with Christ. And living in company with anyone means living in harmony, doesn't it? It means having, insofar as possible, the same motive, the same object, the same sacrificial self-giving, and the same purity. Now, of course, Christ is absolutely perfect. So, whenever we're not living in harmony with Him, we know very well where the fault lies. And so it's up to me, day by day, to bring my motives into greater harmony with His. What is His motive for us? What is His purpose in our lives? It is to bring us to wholeness, fulfillment, holiness. That is His object. There are many expressions in the New Testament of why Jesus died, and one of them is in 2 Corinthians 5:15. His purpose in dying for us was that we, while still in life, should cease to live for ourselves. And so I want to learn more about sacrificial self-giving, the laying down of myself and my own desires and plans and hopes. And purity is another thing which is necessary if I'm going to live in company with Christ. So today I want to talk particularly about the expression of true charity in situations of serious disrespect or even abuse on the part of one person. I get a lot of mail through this radio program. But there are many requests about what to do in a situation, particularly a marital situation, where there is serious disrespect, amounting even sometimes to abuse, on the part of one of the partners. How should the other respond? Well, I can tell you some things with absolute assurance that I'm right. Certainly, we are not to respond in kind. That is, we don't give an eye for an eye. If somebody tears you to shreds verbally, you don't turn around and tear them to shreds and start a shouting match. The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. So there's a good scriptural principle right there. Is somebody angry with you? Give them a soft answer. In 1 Peter 3, he talks about a gentle and quiet spirit being a thing very precious in the sight of God. Our response should be with a gentle and quiet spirit, the spirit of Christ. Often it takes silent prayer for us to respond that way. So where the world might say, count to 10, and that's certainly better than coming back with a nasty reply, it's more effective, I think, to spend 10 seconds praying. Just say, Lord, help me to know what to say, and simply stand there quietly. But you ask, if it continues day after day, what is my response to be? Well, that means that we've got to prepare ourselves before we meet that person in the morning. Prepare ourselves by prayer. If your first contact of the day as soon as you wake up, is with God rather than with that abrasive personality, it may make a very big difference. Choose an appropriate time, God's time, and ask Him to show you what to do and how to handle the situation. Be willing to turn the other cheek. Now, you've often heard me talk about women's submission to their husbands and the absolute necessity of a wife being willing to submit to her husband. And this is the question that comes back so often in response to talk of submission. But what if your husband is being abusive? What if he is not loving you as Christ loved the church? And to that I always say, well, of course, there's never been a man in history that has loved his wife as Christ loved the church, because every man that you're married to is a sinner. And so we do have problems. We are incompatible. We are sinners. But when I talk about submission, I do not mean that a wife is never to open her mouth, that she is never to let her husband know if he's doing something that really does hurt her. Perhaps he's not even aware of it. He's not being violently abusive. Of that, he would certainly be aware. But if you feel that there's something that you need to talk to him about, something that does hurt you, something that indicates disrespect on his part, then pray for God's time. Pray that God will show you the appropriate time to talk with him, and then be willing to turn the other cheek if the abuse comes again. So let's say that the time has come to speak. Make sure that it's not when your husband just gets home from work and he's dead tired and he hasn't had a good meal. Any wife will tell you that it's best to talk after a meal than before. And you might say something like this to him. You know, honey, I really do love you. I may have a funny way of showing it at times, and I know that I don't live up to all that I claim. But I really do love you, and I really do want our marriage to be the best marriage in the world. Now, you know as well as I know that the way things have been going has not brought happiness to either one of us. It hasn't made you any happier to treat me the way you've been doing. And I think that it's unworthy of you. I married you because, and then I hope you can think of a nice list of reasons why you married this man. And you know, I really expect better of you. I know that what you're giving me in these responses is not the real you. I expect you to live up to what I saw you to be when I decided to marry you. And I want you to tell me the ways in which I'm making it hard for you to love me. And then, of course, if you say that, you better shut up and give him a chance to tell you. I believe that God can work in you and change you. And I also believe that God can work in me and change me. And you have to mean these words. Don't be lying to your husband. Don't just parrot what Elizabeth Elliot told you to say. I'm just making some suggestions here of what I think might work in your case, because it's worked in my case. I have certainly opened my mouth on more than one occasion with my husbands. And I need to put a parenthesis in here for some of you that may not have listened to this program before. I have my third husband now. Both numbers 1 and 2 have died. But in each case, there were things where I felt we needed to discuss something. And I certainly have not always done it in a gentle and quiet way. And God has had to forgive me for that. But it does disarm a man when you come at him and say, you know, I really want you to tell me the ways in which I'm making it hard for you to love me. The Bible says that a husband is supposed to love his wife as Christ loved the church, and you and I as wives are to make it as easy as possible for them to do this. Then you might ask him, is this behavior the way you really want to be? Is this the way you envisioned our marriage to go? Is this delivering the message that you sincerely mean? In the Bible, we have the example of Abigail, who was married to Nabal, who was so ill-natured that one cannot speak to him, the Bible says. That man was an ill-natured man. Well, Abigail began to undo the damage that he had done, and she went to David, and she spoke to David about what her husband Nabal had done. And David said, "Blessed be your discretion. Every man would have been dead if you hadn't come and restrained me from hurting you." Now, Abigail was a peacemaker, and the Bible says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." How should we have a peaceful home without coming to terms with each other? How can we come to terms without conversation? Study the principles of 1 Corinthians 13. Love is very patient, very kind, not jealous, not boastful. Love is not arrogant, rude, insisting on its own way, irritable, resentful. Love does not rejoice at wrong. Love bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love is firm and wise, not embittering or embarrassing. And I do believe that if we are going to live in company with Christ, we need to learn to live in company with the people he puts us with. And that takes love. And love is obedience. May God help you to love him, to obey him, in order that you may love those he puts you with.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network. Mm-hmm.